Father said, the end of the year is always a good time to look back to what happened and also look forward to an exciting new year. And as believers in Christ, we can look back and say we had the joy and delight of walking with the Lord for another year, of being led by His Spirit, being guided by His Word, and what an awesome God we serve. I'm going to savor my first amen. Cool. And looking back, there's one other thing that we all had in common, that we all faced trials of some kind in 2017. Some of us faced incredibly challenging trials, perhaps the death of a loved one, health challenges, perhaps a job setback. And yet, those times are hard. I know in our family, early in the year, Barb was diagnosed with cancer, and we had to work through all the ramifications of that. And then in October, we had a fire in our house, which we are still recovering from. So had an opportunity to think about this a little bit. And we don't want to take our cues from the world as far as how we respond to trials, but we want to look to God's Word so we can think biblically about trials as we go into 2018. There's some truths that we know that we can hang our hat on. Romans 8 talks a lot about the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that nothing, of course, would include the trials we face. So we know as we are experiencing them that God's love is still very much a part of our life. We also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, first part of verse 4, it says that God comforts us in our afflictions. He is the God of all comfort, and He comforts us in our afflictions. So with that as our background, I want to take a few minutes to spend some time in the book of James and 1 Peter, because they both have something to say about what our attitude should be when we're going through trials and how we should view them from God's perspective. Now, it's interesting in the book of James. James is sort of like the Proverbs of the New Testament, where if you're familiar with the book, he jumps around from topic to topic and talks about what Christian living looks like in these various topics. But right after a one-sentence introduction, first thing he does is talk about trials. So if that's the first thing he talks about, it must be a pretty important topic. And he says, count it all joy. Some versions say, consider it joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Some versions say perseverance. And let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So let's break that apart a little bit to see how both James and Peter link to say that we can have joy even amidst the trials. So first of all, James says, consider it joy when you encounter trials. He doesn't say if. So he's saying very, very clearly, trials are part of our living in this fallen world. If we don't expect we're ever going to have any, then we're never going to be prepared for them when they do come. So I think one thing that James is saying to us from a practical standpoint is expect that you're going to have trials and be prepared for them. Well, how do we do that? Well, we start our day by asking God for strength to help us when those opportunities come. We don't want to respond the way our culture does. Our culture worships being comfortable. That's not a goal of ours, to be comfortable. Our goal as believers is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And as such, we can do that even in our trials. So again, James says, first of all, recognize that trials are part of our human existence. Then he says, he equates the trials to a testing of our faith. So if you look at them from that standpoint, that they're not there to make us miserable, but the trials are there to test our faith, to prove the genuineness of it. And we'll see when we get into 1 Peter, he echoes that same theme. Think of Abraham in the Old Testament when God said to him, sacrifice your son. Well, that was a real test of his faith to see if, in fact, he believed everything he professed. It's very easy to sit in a nice room like this and profess faith in Christ, but it's when we're out there and when the rubber meets the road that we really get to see whether our faith in action. And then the third point that James makes is that there can be a positive outcome to our trials. Even though they're very difficult when we go through them, he says that we can develop characteristics. We can develop patience, perseverance. We can develop Christian maturity as a result of going through those trials. I learn a lot more when I go through difficulties. I get rather complacent when things go well. And I have this little two stanza poem that my friend Mike Teachman sent me some time ago. And it's a poem by Robert Browning that says, "I walked a mile." It says, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked a mile with me." So those difficulties are opportunities for us to grow in our Christian maturity. Peter expands upon those thoughts of James in his first epistle, again in chapter 1, one book over from James. And he kind of fills in the gaps a little bit from a few things that James did not say. And starting in, starting in verse 6 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says, "In this," and we'll come back in a minute to what the "this" is, "in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." So Peter's very realistic, and he says, trials produce grief. I know back when Barb was diagnosed with cancer, I grieved. I grieved because I knew she was going to go through difficult times, surgery, radiation, possibly chemotherapy, which fortunately she didn't need. But that was a time of real grieving. So Peter's realistic and says, grieving is normal in trials, but yet he still is able to link it with joy. And again, he goes on and uses the same similar words to what James talked about. He says, these trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now let's go back a little bit into the this part of this. When he says, "In this you greatly rejoice." So if we look back to starting at verse 3, these are the things that he says we can rejoice in even during our trials. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So Peter says, these are the things that you can concentrate on when you're going through trials, so that you can be joyful even amidst the grief of the trial. He says, first of all, focus on Jesus. He is a God of mercy. Then he says, also, look what we have. We have, as his followers, we have new birth. We have a living hope into the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And an inheritance. Nobody can take it away from us. Can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven. And then it says, we are shielded by God's power. So it's very helpful when we're going through trials to concentrate on who God is and also what our identity in Christ is. Another great passage that even expands on that further is chapter 1 of Ephesians, where Paul starts out and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then he goes on for verse after verse after verse after verse with all those blessings. You know, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were redeemed. We were forgiven of our sins. We are recipients of his grace. So Peter links those two to say, when you're going through those difficult times, joy is possible because of the fact if you identify with who Christ is and what our position in Christ is. And then we have a privilege. As we understand this concept and as we are comforted by God, I mentioned that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, the first part of that says that God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in our afflictions. But the second half of that verse says he comforts us so that we can comfort others. So as we understand this, we can then use this as an opportunity for us to reach out to other people. If you read the emails that Carol sends out about the prayer requests, I mean, you realize people are struggling with some tough stuff. And this really gives us an opportunity to come alongside those folks, to be that source of comfort. As we've experienced the comfort in our own life, we can then in turn help provide comfort to others who are going through some pretty, pretty serious trials. One of my favorite New Testament characters is Barnabas. And if you read through the book of Acts, we are introduced to him in, I think it's the end of chapter 4. And what a lot of people don't realize is his name was not Barnabas, his name was Joseph. But the apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. How would you like to be known as a son of encouragement? So as we dwell on these truths and we understand how God can comfort us and we know where our minds should be as we're going through those trials, and as we think about how we can then be a comfort to others, my closing question to you is, who can you be a Barnabas to in your life? Be a comfort to others as God has been a comfort to us. Let us pray. Father, we are awed at your involvement with us. The fact that you are part of our lives. The fact that when things get tough, we know that we can rely on you. Your love is never ending. And it seems to in many ways be magnified when we are going through difficulties. So I pray this morning for each person here that we would latch on to this truth, that we wouldn't respond as our culture does when things are going poorly. Our comfort seems to be the goal of many in our culture, and yet we know you want something far more deeper. You are far more interested in our character than for us to be comfortable. And I pray that this truth would just invade our hearts, because as we live this out, as we can be joyful amidst the grief of trials, it gives us tremendous opportunities to be witnesses to the world, to share our faith with others, and to show others that there truly is a fortress. We sung earlier, a mighty fortress is our God. And that is true, that God is our fortress, especially in times of difficulty. Help us to live that out fully as we go into 2018. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.